And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Good evening, live, not live, we're recording from my apartment building on the campus of Georgetown University. My name's Carlos. I'm here with Liz, and we're here to talk about nothing else than the Tampa Bay Rowdies. That's a lie. We can talk a little bit of our lives before we jump into the Rowdy stuff. I'm excited, Liz. Lots of fun stuff to talk about from this past week. We're recording a bit later than usual. Admittedly, I have been drowned in everything but Rowdy stuff for the past week, but we're here. We're here to talk about the Rowdies. We're here to talk about a massive game this upcoming weekend. Tons of huge implications there. I don't have to talk too much about that game against Pittsburgh. We'll have plenty to say about that later on. Before we get into any of that, Liz, what's going on in your life? How you doing back home in Tampa Bay?
It's good. It is still so very warm here. All my coworkers are saying, oh, what a nice chilly morning. All my coworkers live in Utah. That's where my job is based out of. But they're all like, what a nice chilly morning. And I'm like, I'm still sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a summary of my week.
Yeah, it's actually been rather nice up here. I woke up and it was like in the mid 60s, which had been really, really nice. DC has been surprisingly warm early this semester. It's been really, really hot, actually. It's a lot like Tampa. It's super humid. And the worst part is I don't have a beach to escape to here. I have like the Potomac River, and it's disgusting and it's gross. Mm-hmm. And it's just that the only
sounds like bad. Something you would catch in the Potomac River.
Yeah, I know. We don't go in there for a reason. If you follow it upstream enough, you get to the cool DC United Stadium. So there's a cool thing on the river. But that being said, definitely not worth swimming in. Nonetheless, Liz, let's jump into it. This past weekend, the Rowdies played Loudoun United, and we won. I'm not going to say comfortably, but we won, I think, in a pretty controlled fashion, 1-0 in front of a decent crowd. That win pushed us to 60 points on 32 games played. We're 3 points behind our first place counterparts, our opponents for this weekend, Pittsburgh, who sit on 63 points. None of us predicted the score correctly, but me, Eureka, and the guest spot did all predict the Rowdies win. The guest spot is on 25 points. Eureka's on 24 points. I'm in 22 points. And James plus Liz helping out are on 18 points there. Liz, unfortunately, predicted the draw. Carrying on the James tradition of being rather pessimistic, I'd say, going into these games.
We'll wait till you see my prediction for the next game.
There it is. No. I was going to say, let's see how the prediction continues going on into the Pittsburgh game. We'll have a ton of stuff to talk about that Loudoun game. I think there's plenty to talk about there, and I think even more to talk about when it comes to the game against Pittsburgh, the implications of that. Tons of fun stuff ahead. Tons of fun stuff this weekend at Al Lang Stadium. Before we jump into any of that, just want to quickly ask everybody to join the hundreds who have already liked and subscribed to RBLR Sports on YouTube. Join us, like, subscribe on any of our platforms, including YouTube. But we are also on anywhere you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I don't know.
Google Podcasts doesn't exist anymore.
Whatever podcast platform there is, we're there. If there's a podcast platform, you'll find RBLR Sports there. Drop a like and a follow. And follow us on all of our social medias, including Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at RBLR Sports. All right. That all out of the way.
The history of failed Google products is fascinating to me, and I love following it. So Google Podcasts is just one in the illustrious history.
There you go. We should start another podcast about that. We should be there.
You could go on for several episodes. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on from that, I can't think of a smooth transition from talking about Google Podcasts to the Rowdies, but let's talk about the Rowdies. Liz, do you want to take us through the quick recap of what happened against Loudoun United in our 1-0 win?
We scored a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was about all we did.
Anything else of note there? Or were we just talking about
really, not really. Like, I went to go rewatch the game. I hate to say it, I was just as bored rewatching it as I was watching it the first time.
Sure.
It was a very lackluster game.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. And we can break that down a bit, maybe about why that happened, or you know,
Yeah.
if that's a good performance, if we can call it a good performance or not. But definitely, like you said, there was just the one goal on the night. The Rowdy started off pretty strong. There was a nice looking cross from Cal Jennings early on that went across to Perez. Perez almost scored, hit the crossbar actually on a sliding shot early in like the second minute. Would have been really, really cool for him to get a goal on the board that early. We kind of kept the pressure on. I think we started exciting and it kind of fell towards the end. Antley had a really beautiful looping cross to JJ Williams in the 7th minute, just 5 minutes later. And JJ Williams headed a ball just wide to the right of the post. Highly, highly unfortunate not to be up 2-0 just 7 minutes in. But it wasn't until much later, JJ Williams would rip another one of his kind of signature, you know, mid-distance shots on the ground that kind of sometimes work, but kind of not. Found the post actually in the 29th minute, one of those shots. And it was none other than Cal Jennings, who just seems to be a hound for the ball, just follows the ball wherever it goes and finished at a really, really tight, impressive angle from the right side of the goal. Really, really good stuff from him. Put the Rowdies up 1-0. Like Liz said, it was the only goal on the night. The high press was working really well. You could see us forcing Loudon into plenty of turnovers. And by halftime, we were up 1-0. And not much else to talk about there. In the second half, the Rowdies would have a couple more chances, a few good looking shots, and that was about it. There wasn't really too much to do. Loudon would create a couple of decent looking opportunities. Sparrow didn't really have too much work, you know, laid out for him. Backline did everything they had to do. Forrest Lasso was back in the starting lineup. Defense looked certainly better than the last home game against Memphis. We can talk about that back line in a second. So let's jump into the breakdown a little bit, Liz. What did you see? Did you see any distinct differences between the first half and the second half performances? It's usually how we like to break down these games. We like to break it down into one half and another half. Did you see any key differences, or did we just kind of keep a consistent level of play the whole way through?
I mean, we were pretty consistent for the most part. I want to say, obviously, because we scored a goal in the first half, we had a little more fight. But I feel like we kind of sat back in the second half. And I think Loudon also sat back. So that's why it was just kind of a boring game, other than Loudon's many, many fouls.
Yeah, it was. We talked about this before we started recording. It was certainly like a pretty chippy game,
Yeah.
which I wasn't really. I mean, I don't know. Loudon's a team that, again, to remind everybody, I don't think we mentioned this yet. They're in second to last place in the conference. They were eliminated from the playoff contention coming into this game. They really didn't have much to play for. Obviously, have been struggling this season. I remember at the beginning of the season, I was kind of hyping them up because they were playing pretty well for a Loudon
Yeah.
squad, and they fell off. That being said, we talked about this earlier as well. I had two guys that I'm pretty one guy I'm pretty close friends with actually on the Loudon team was in one of my classes. Played soccer here at Georgetown. We were in the same class, the same year, and everything. He played for Charlotte before he ended up in Loudon. His name's Chris Haygart. He had a decent game himself, and he was getting into it with Connor Sparrow and Connor Antley. And it was really funny to watch that from afar. Watch that like from where he played college soccer. It was the same guy that played college soccer over here, just as chippy as he was playing against UConn or DePaul or whatever. Kind of mixed feelings seeing that happen against the Rowdies, but ultimately that was kind of characteristic of how Loudon played the game. I mean, just a really chippy game, very aggressive, very physical, surprisingly. I mean, you'd think for a smaller team for the most part, that wouldn't really be that successful. But I think to their credit, they played a pretty decent game. I mean, I think I'm not like disrespecting them by saying that the Rowdies are clearly the better team. And we were playing at home, you know, home atmosphere, humidity, the heat, and everything. And they played a decent game against us. I would say, like, I expected to win by more. I think first half we came out firing on all cylinders for a second. And then, like you said, by the time we went up the goal, coming out of the second half is a bit sluggish. Loudon was just looking to kind of score on those counterattacks. And we just kind of sat back and held the ball. Not a problem there, but definitely maybe boring to watch, like you said. So I think that was pretty fun. Ultimately got the 3 points. But anything else to talk about? Can we say anything about the second half? Were there any like moments of interest, any key moments that we can point to? Because I'm trying to think back and Not really thinking of anything.
No, the only explanation I can think of for why it got chippy is just you have your younger players who just maybe in a moment of anger or when they're frustrated because they're down by a goal might, make that not so great tackle at the in the heat of the moment. That's the only thing I can think of, and I
For
think
sure.
Loudon kind of displayed their age, which again might. Nothing against them because they are playing, professional soccer, and they are on their way, hopefully, to DC United. But I will say there is something quite like the fight in a Loudon team with playing with nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's actually like they have a lot of talent, by the way. Like a lot of these guys individually could be starting for teams around the league. I know like they're not playing their best or anything, but again, I'm gonna show my bias very explicitly here. And Aiden Rocha went to Georgetown as well. He was 2 years older than me, so I got to see him play for a couple seasons here. Great guy as well. I mean, he had a fantastic game as well. He was cre like the chances that Loudon did have were basically facilitated by him. And like he's a guy that 100% is going to be climbing the ranks really quickly, whether that's going to DC United or moving on up to a, I think, more established USL team. I think he's somebody that definitely has the capacity to grow really quickly. I mean, there's a bunch of really talented guys here. I think collectively, it's kind of difficult for them to like gel pretty quickly when there's so much movement in the roster and the lineup. But there's a lot of talent here. Tommy Williamson, that striker for them, is a really, really talented forward. 24 years old, plenty of talent on his part, has been having a pretty good season, actually. That being said, he just didn't have the ball, really. Like, he didn't really have the ball up top. There's not much more he can do if he doesn't have anything going for him. Only ended up having one shot on the night. But I think that's a testament to the Rowdies' play as well, Liz. I think we played a good game. It wasn't necessarily fun to watch, which I think I can agree with you on, but I think we played a good game overall. First half was just a bit more fun than the second half. So I guess that transitions us into the next part here. General reactions. Can we say this was a good result, a good performance, or maybe were we expecting more against a not so good team?
I was expecting more against a not so good team personally. I have to say it is something to say about Loudon that they only held us to one goal. They didn't score any, which that sucks, but like they only held us to one. There are sometimes where we would roll over.
For sure.
So they I hate to say I think Loudon lost, but I still think they maybe had a better game than us.
Yeah, I think that's an
It's
interesting way to put it.
controversial hot take, but
Yeah, it's an interesting.
yeah.
I think that's a totally like fair thing to say as well, because looking back at our past results, Liz, actually, I forgot about this, but I was looking back and I just realized that this was the first time we've scored less than two goals in a game since that loss to Pittsburgh on August 5th. So 2 months ago. That means
Okay.
every game since that 1-0 loss to Pittsburgh, we scored four against Monterrey, two against Tulsa, two against Miami, two against Hartford, two in the loss to Memphis, two in the win against Louisville, three in the tie against San Antonio, two in the loss against Memphis, and two in the win against Hartford. So that's every game consistently, we've been scoring at least two goals for the past 2 months,
So what
which
does it
is
say that the team second to the bottom held us to one goal?
right,
Yeah,
exactly.
Fonzie? Loudon had a good game. Like they should be very like I should have said this earlier, but they should be very proud of themselves, quite
Yeah,
frankly. They're holding
absolutely.
a team second to the top, vying for the supporter shield to one goal. There are teams much higher than them couldn't do that.
And we were creating opportunities in the first half, but I think it was one of those cases where, and this has happened earlier this season again, like when James and I have been talking about playing these like teams that are towards the bottom of the table, it's happened more than once at this point in the season where we kind of play down to that competition. In this case, I don't really think we did that. I think it was more like we played well in the first half and then got comfortable with that 1-0 result. Wasn't really too much more we had to do. There wasn't too much danger of Loudon ever really, threatening to tie the game up per se. The final stats were they had nine shots, which was honestly more than I thought they did. Only one of those was on target the entire night. The Rowdies hit the post twice. We had 5 shots on target, 16 shots in total. So we were creating opportunities. It might not have felt that way because it was pretty like condensed in the first half.
Yeah.
But I think it is a testament to Loudon for sure. And it's worth giving them credit because they, I think, you know, holding a team that hasn't scored less than 2 goals in the past 2 months is really, really interesting. And definitely a you know, testament to their skill level and I guess collective defensive you know, approach. So again, I don't want to feel like I'm giving Loudon too much like credit either. We're here to talk about the Rowdies. Like, we won at the end of the day. So
yeah.
And they didn't, they lost. So but it is interesting, and I think it's worth pointing out that we've scored more than 2 goals for the past 2 months against every team we've played, and then Loudon holds us to just 1. We still won, but interesting there. I don't say that either to like scare anybody about our offense, by the way, because I think our attack has been not a problem at all. If there has been a problem, it's just been injuries and whatnot. I mean, again, plenty of stuff happening with the back line. Aaron Guillen's still out. Like, who else are we missing? Why am I blanking? You know, I mean, the guys that have been out for majority of the season.
That could lead us into Leo being on the bench.
Right. We haven't mentioned that yet, by the way. We haven't mentioned that, have we, right?
No.
Okay. So maybe let's just jump into that then, because let's talk about the injuries for a second. We have Forrest Lasso back, right? He started again. He was starting with Kleeman on the back line, and then Antley and Doherty were also kind of playing defensively. So generally guys have been kind of playing in the positions that they're used to, with the exception of maybe Doherty kind of playing on the back line. Still kind of weird for him. Before we talk about Leo and like the implications that could have, let's just mention the back line for a second, because we have Forrest Lasso back. We're still missing a key piece in Guillen, and Kleeman starting when he's, you know, had a lot of games coming off the bench. How do you feel about the back line right now, Liz? I mean, where we had a couple games in the previous couple weeks where it's been a little scary. Forrest Lasso hasn't been in, and we've been conceding like 4 goals, 3 goals, barely getting out of games, you know, out of these games alive. We lost to Memphis at home the week prior and then bounced back nicely against Hartford with Lasso still out of the game. But now we have Lasso back. Kleeman's playing, and he's a decent center back as well. Antley's good. Do we feel good about the back line, or should we still be a bit concerned that a key piece like Guillen is still out?
I'm still concerned. I think we played down a little bit in the last game. We may have had it a little easier last game. We did have Lasso back. I did see a notice. I am a harsh critic of Lasso, but I did see a noticeable improvement with Lasso in the back line again. Absolutely. And I will say that. I will give him that credit for sure. So that makes me feel better, but I'm still worried about Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's definitely valid as well. I think on that note, right, we had before the game against Loudon, we did have that game against Hartford that Wednesday prior. So there was about 3 days in between those games as well. Maybe a factor could have been fatigue as well. But you have, again, we have guys coming back slowly, including a guy named Leo Fernandez that we can mention a bit more in a second. But that does mean that there's tons of guys playing a lot of minutes too, right?
Yeah.
There's not really, the game against Hartford, which we talked about in the last episode, obviously. I just want to reference that because Lasso was still kind of coming back from injury. You had Kleeman basically by himself as the only center back. You can't really sub him off. So Kleeman has to play a full 90. Antley basically has to play a full 90. There's not really any other defenders. And then Doherty also has to play a full 90 because he's the only other guy that can kind of play defense. You also have Joshua Perez that's been playing defense sometimes on like the fullback spot. But you really don't want to be moving around guys too much like that. And then this past game against Loudon, you bring in Lasso. So you have another center back, which is really nice to like bolster the, you know, a normal back line. But you still don't have any guys to sub him in, right? So there's no Guillen on the bench that can come in or, you know, take off some minutes or whatever. If there's an injury, you know, whatever. Like, so Kleiman played a good chunk of minutes here back to back, 180 minutes within 2 days. That being said, I think it was fine because it was Loudon, and the game before was Hartford. These are literally the bottom two teams in the Eastern Conference. So if there's a time to do that, it's now. But I think your point is taken, that there should be a little bit of concern, a little bit of caution when it comes to still not having Guillen back, because there's no one to really come in and take off any minutes. Let me caveat that by saying we didn't have a weekday game this week, so we had a full 7 days, you know, or 6 days, I guess, in between games. So I don't think fatigue will be a problem, but there's still not depth. And I think that's where your point is taken about concern of not having a guy like Guillen back for sure.
Yeah. Like, I was just checking. I remember hearing when I was watching the game earlier, this is the first time in several weeks that we've had a full bench. And I was like, oh, let me go check that out while Carlos is talking. And I'll listen, I'll check it real quick. And then I realized, I was looking, oh, and then everyone on our bench is a midfielder.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll say, I mean, that's a much better situation than in I was trying to mix previous and prior there, and it was coming out as like previous. In prior weeks, when we've literally only had like forwards and Breno in goal or on the bench. So,
when Ryko is one of our possibilities of putting on the field.
It was literally like for more weeks than I was comfortable with. It was literally just M. Kosana, Ryko, Martinez, and like maybe Armin or Dalgard on the bench. So it was like attackers, right? It was not a lot there.
Yeah.
So having midfielders in, guys that can like kind of play defense if really needed, makes me a bit more comfortable. Armin can play in the back line if he really has to. He can play fullback. Dalgard can play like wing back. And then Hilton, I'm not putting Hilton on the back line. But that being said, I feel a bit more comfortable with the situation now than I did just a few weeks prior. So, I'll caveat the concern by saying I feel more comfortable, but I would like Guillen back sooner rather than later. Maybe even Erivo. I mean, Leo Fernandez came out of nowhere, but like if he can come out of nowhere, maybe Zach Erivo can come out of nowhere. He plays defensive mid. He can probably play on the back line if he really had to.
I would hope so. When did he get, like, how long has he been injured now?
The whole season. Yeah. Basically the whole season. And he was one of those guys that got injured really, really early on and just hasn't really had a minute since. If you give me 3 seconds.
Leo's happened in preseason, right?
Yeah. So Erivo played a total of 6 games. He got, game was April 29th against Detroit. In Detroit, and he hasn't played since. He like actually ended up getting on the score sheet one time in those 5 games, which is kind of interesting for his position. So he could have contributed. I was really excited to see what he can contribute this year. That being said, we're still in a weird situation with limited players. One of those other guys that's out is Abel Caputo. He hasn't been on the bench since August 12th. He was on the bench against Monterey Bay back then. Didn't get any minutes then, but picked up some sort of injury. I think it was during warmups in the later game where he picked up an injury. So unfortunate. Last time he got minutes was that loss at Pittsburgh. So and that's another guy that can play on the back line, by the way. Abel Caputo has played fullback. He can play center back if he really has to. So another guy that we can have back there hopefully sooner rather than later to add a bit of depth. That would definitely minimize my concern just a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
So last thing I'll say, which tangentially has to do with this game, it really has nothing to do with the game itself, by the way. I think my conclusions on the game were fine. We won, and I'm happy, and I'm really glad that I got to see two of my boys play against the Rowdies and lose. But that being said, you mentioned a key player that's back on the roster, active, didn't get any minutes. His name's Leo Fernandez. He was the MVP last season. He's incredible talent, just insane talent, like a game changer. So it's incredible to have him back active on the bench. He's coming off a really long injury, but he's just such an insanely talented player. I'm not sure I would still play him though. Like I'm saying all of that to lead
I
up.
am glad we didn't play him in for Loudon because he would have gotten injured again.
Yeah, I mean that's a possibility for sure. Like I was telling, we were talking about this actually briefly before we started recording. The offense is clicking. Like the attack is not really a problem right now. I think Leo Fernandez right now, coming off this long-term injury, so talented. But I feel like he's a guy that you bring in as a sub in the latter parts of a game right now. What do you think,
100%.
Liz?
Oh,
Okay.
100%. I think just unless he has some dramatic change where like the man is Superman, he has healed, his bones are made of iron now, and he can, he's 100% good to go. I don't see him starting for the rest of the season, quite frankly. I think he would make a great
Absolutely.
60, 70th minute sub. I think that's where he will be key. I think you're absolutely correct. Our def our I'm sorry, our offense is clicking. We are doing great. We have that Jennings and oh my God, JJ
Yeah,
Williams. Oh my
DJ
gosh,
Williams, yeah.
I lost his last name for a minute. We have that Jennings to Williams is going really, really well. I love that. That's working. I don't want to change anything offense wise. So I would
Absolutely.
be very surprised if he started, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off a really long-term injury. It's not to say like if he came in like he would like this is all be I'm only saying this because I thought it might be a hot take, and we'll see, I guess, if Rowdy's Twitter agrees. But my only thing is he's been out for a really long time, and there's not really a need to fix what isn't broken. Again, we haven't scored less than 2 goals in literally 2 months. Like we are scoring lots of goals. We're averaging 2 goals a game in the past 2 months, which is absurd. My like concern is on the back line, just because of depth of injuries. The guys are talented as hell on the back there and in the back line, but that's where I would be more concerned. So unless Leo Fernandez can start at center back, then I think I'm okay with him coming off the bench later in the game. I mean, by the way, him coming off the bench is also not a bad thing at all. Like, can you imagine? You're Pittsburgh, you're playing against the Rowdies, you're playing in the humidity. It gets like the 70th minute and you are exhausted and still tired. And all of a sudden you see Leo Fernandez warming up and coming off the bench. The MVP from last year. Like, what can you imagine like the just the toll that will take on your psyche if you're Pittsburgh? So
It's funny.
we have a couple of big games coming up, and we'll talk about Pittsburgh in a second. We have Louisville away in 2 weeks. That I think will be a decisive match as well. Leo Fernandez coming off the bench, I think, is the best option for like his role going
Yes.
forward. Also, like Charlie Dennis has kind of been playing where he played last year, and Charlie Dennis is having also an MVP quality, like caliber season, by the way. Charlie Dennis should be up there in the MVP candidate conversation. So we might also already have an MVP playing at that spot, but like I would love Leo to come off the bench in like the 65th, 70th minute for like Joshua Perez on the wing, or even I don't know, even JJ Williams, kind of like slot in behind Cal Jennings, give him that like free roam back there behind Jennings. Like, there's a lot of stuff you can do with Leo Fernandez when he's healthy, when he's physically able to like move at 100%. I'm not like, again, I'm not a doctor. I was studying political science, so that's not a real science. Like I'm not sure how quickly he can heal or if he's at 100% from the type of injury he had that kept him out for so long. So if he can play at 100%, it's not going to be for 90 minutes, is my
No.
hypothesis. If
No.
he can play at
And he shouldn't.
100%, yeah. If he can play at 100% this season, it's going to be for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. You're pushing it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think if you're going to have him play at 100% and make the impact he can on a game, it's going to be in that latter portion. So I know we're like kind of including this in the Loudon recap. It has nothing to do with the game itself, but he was on the bench, and that's
He's on the
huge
bench. It has
news.
to do with the game. It
Yeah,
counts.
it's huge news, and it's definitely worth talking about going forward here because there's still 2 games left in the regular season and playoffs. I mean, who knows? Maybe you can have like a Stanley, sorry, a Steven Stamkos moment. in the 2020 Stanley Cup. If anybody remembers that, he's been injured like the whole playoffs and then comes in, scores a goal, and then just leaves. Just has a huge goal and contributes to the Stanley Cup. Like, that would be very Leo Fernandez. Comes in the 80th minute, scores a game winner, and doesn't play again. Let's do that. Yeah. Okay. Liz, I think we can move on.
Give me a Cal Jennings to Leo Fernandez goal, and my heart, I'll just be that. That's all I need.
I genuinely think that would be a great combo, by the way. Cal Jennings and Leo Fernandez behind him in like that spot where Charlie, like, if they can come in and do that. I mean, Ariel Martinez has been kind of playing that role in the last portion of the game.
Oh man. Okay, just side tangent. Can you imagine the season we would have if we had Leo healthy? Oh my God. Unstoppable. I mean, maybe not our defense, but the rest of the goal wise.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about, like, would Dennis and Leo have played together in the midfield? Like, would that mean that who would play? It'd be interesting to think about. That being said, I think Leo Fernandez just kind of takes over Ariel Martinez's like last 10, 15 minutes of the game role. So Ariel Martinez has been doing a good job at that, by the way. So maybe they both come in. Who knows? Okay. Long tangent there about Leo Fernandez. Let's bring it back to the actual game against Loudon. Performance-wise, Liz, can we move on to the man of the match?
Yes. So my man of the match was our sole goal scorer, Cal Jennings. I have to admire the way he got the rebound on that. He was right there, ready for it. I love it.
That was so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was absolutely insane, by the way.
Yeah.
He and JJ Williams are different types of players, but they share one quality, which is they will chase the ball wherever it is.
Yeah.
Like, and they'll follow it like a hound. They'll follow that ball and they'll make something happen. And Cal Jennings is kind of the king of that. Finding that narrow angle is absurd, by the way. And like, it was the only goal. It was decisive, and it's a really, really tough goal to finish. It was actually the game-winning goal, right? So, really, really impressive from him. The only reason I didn't pick him as my man of the match is because I pick him like all the time. So, I'm just gonna pick a guy that I also pick all the time, but I haven't picked him at least the past episodes. Charlie Dennis. Charlie Dennis is my man of the match, just because he's a dog and he seems to be involved in every single offensive opportunity. He, like I said, has been having an MVP candidate type season. He showed it again. He's involved up top. He gets back when he needs to. He just had a masterclass performance against Loudon. He's an all-around talent. He really is. And he's just so like calm, cool, and collected about how he goes about the game as well. Kind of like, I don't know, he attitude wise very similar to like Lewis Hilton, but more attacking, and it's been really, really fun to watch. So it's good stuff going on right there for Charlie Dennis. Glad he's doing well and he continued to have another great performance against Loudon. Let's move on. I know what I'm missing here before we jump into the Pittsburgh preview. Let me give a shameless plug and say liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads, you can support this podcast by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the cool designs we've cooked up. Link is in the description. Promo code COYR for 10% off. COYR for 10% off those cool shirts. Karsten, my roommate, doesn't know I'm going to get him one. He's right here, but I'm going to use that promo code COYR for 10% off. Carson, you want to say how the podcast?
Oh, you hear that? COYR. COYR.
COYR for 10% off. Go to the website, rblrsports.com. Okay. Liz, let's jump into the Pittsburgh preview. Kind of a big game, some people are saying.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
It's a decent game.
It's just the top team in the East. Just a little bit. Okay.
Jokes aside, this is the biggest game of the season, I think, without a doubt at this point. Both teams have qualified for the playoffs, obviously, but it's the matchup of first versus second place. Back when we played them and we lost 1-0 in Pittsburgh, it was a matchup of first versus third. It is now first versus second, and we're closer than ever to catching up with them. We are just 3 points behind. Doesn't seem like a lot, but there's a couple tiebreakers to mention here when it comes to catching up with Pittsburgh and taking over that first place spot. Okay, Again, they're in first place with 63 points. We're in second place with 60 points. They're undefeated in their last six games. They're having a really good stretch. They are the top team in the league for a reason. They've won five of those, and their only non-win was a draw away to San Antonio, one of the other top teams in the league. San Antonio is in second in the Western Conference. So that's all to say, Pittsburgh is good at soccer, right? They have plenty of guys that can play fantastically. They kind of run with the same 3/5 in the back formation that the Rowdies have been using earlier on in the season. Three with two wing backs /5 in the back. They have Jamaican international Jamali Waite, also a product of Big East Conference soccer, by the way. I saw him play my sophomore year against Georgetown where we did win, so I'm sure we can put up goals against him. It's the Rowdies. But he's really, really good as well. Has actually gotten called up to the Jamaican national team several times at this point. Really, really young keeper with plenty of upside. I think he's going places, by the way. Like he has tons of talent. Backline options for Pittsburgh also include Arturo Ordóñez, Joe Farrell, Nathan Dos Santos, Patrick Hogan. They also have some talented wingback options in Danny Rivera and Langston Blackstock. In the center, you can expect to see guys like Danny Griffin, Knardo Forbes, fantastic player, by the way, in there, Mark Ibarra, and former Rowdy, Junior Etu, who's having a really impressive season over there in Pittsburgh. Guy that for the Rowdies had, you know, I'm not saying this to say like he didn't play well for the Rowdies. He had good times with the Rowdies, played good performances, very similar to like Jan Ekra type player, in that, you know, more defensive midfield role. But he's having like a really impressive season over there, and I think that's, it's interesting to note, for him. He's having a bit of a good run, to say the least, over there. They're obviously in first place for a reason. Offensive talent galore, but one guy who is by far the top scorer on the team is Albert Dikwa, who has 19 goals. The next leading scorer, by the way, for Pittsburgh. Oh my gosh, wait, hold on. I just had it pulled up. Albert Dikwa is the top scorer with 19 goals. And then the next top scorer is Ordóñez with 4, by the way. Yep. So if you're Nicky Law, I think there's a clear guy to be watching out for. I think, you know, the 15 goal disparity between first and second place should be an indicator that Albert Dikwa is the guy that they're looking to get the ball. That being said, they've had plenty of other guys get on the score sheet. They've had 14 other guys score at least a goal this season. So talent all around, guys that can get on the score sheet. Ordóñez has 4. Edward Kizza has 4 goals. Tola Shawamni has 4 goals. So, I mean, there's plenty of guys behind him that have also scored, but Albert Dikwa is their guy. Like,
he's leading for the Golden Boot, right?
I believe so. I mean, I'd be surprised if anybody's in front of him. He's got 19 goals.
I don't know if the USL. Oh, yeah, the USL must track that, of course.
Yeah.
That was a funny question.
And then, who was it? It's Canardo Forbes that leads the assist category with 10 assists. Rovira has 5. Biasi 4. Ibarra 3. And Etu with 2 assists. So again, Dikwa is the guy up top. Canardo Forbes is the guy in the midfield that we should be keeping an eye for. He's going to be finding Dikwa. Like, that's the play, but it works. Like, you know what they're generally going to do. It's a matter of being able to stop it. It doesn't really matter if you know what they're going to do if you can't do anything about it. And that's kind of been the case for Pittsburgh's opponents. It's been, we know Dikwa's going to get the ball. We know he's going to get on the score sheet. How do we prevent that? And the answer is you don't, for the most part. You kind of just try to score more goals. But they have an impressive back line as well, by the way. Yeah, they've held some decent teams to, you know, not many goals. They had trouble against Hartford away for whatever reason. Barely got out of there with a 4-3 win. But, I mean, I don't know. Every really good team has some weird down performances. So I wouldn't really... No,
maybe it was the case of us against the Loudon playing down.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be like put too much weight on a result like that. The point is, they're really good. Dikwa scoring goals like every game. So I don't know. I don't know what the strategy is. I played, again, like I said, I downloaded Football Manager a couple weeks ago for the first time. There's like a feature on there where you can just like attach a central midfielder to another player and he's just following him around the whole time. That might be what you want to do with Dequa, honestly. You put like a Jan Ekra on him just the whole game. You're just watching Dequa. Like, honestly, not that bad a strategy. I should be a head coach.
No, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, definitely want to keep a man on him at all times, if not two, honestly.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough game. I don't know. I don't have high hopes, unfortunately. We are going to be at home, so that's something for us. We are coming off a couple of wins, so that's something too. We have Lasso. He's back in form. Like, he really seemed like he was at his, he's getting back to like 100% or playing at 100% in the last game.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was trying to see if I forgot if I wrote something for that. But honestly, I'm hesitant to be optimistic just because of our defense.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, they're scoring lots of goals in their last four games. They scored 3 goals, 2 goals, 2 goals, 3 goals. So it's what, 5, 10 goals in their last four games. They're in a good scoring streak right now against pretty decent teams as well. They got held scoreless against San Antonio in San Antonio, but again, San Antonio is a fantastic team at home. We're also a fantastic team at home, by the way. Like, I feel like in thinking about these games, we think about Pittsburgh and like they're really, really good right now, which is true. But we're also in a really good run right now. We only had that random loss to Memphis when our back line was really, really narrow then. Our back line is kind of back to like not normal, but good. With Guillen back, it would be like great. So I'm honestly not too concerned that we're gonna get like, you know, I don't think it's gonna be like that game against Memphis where we concede like 4 goals. That just doesn't happen anymore, especially with like Lasso and Kleeman in there. Like, Kleeman is good. Lasso is really good. He's had some mistakes this season, but I mean, these are guys that should hold, you know, be able to hold their own against a good Pittsburgh team. And we're scoring lots of goals. So I think it's gonna be really, really close. And it's going to come down to a couple moments of brilliance for either team. Like, yeah. It's not really like a tactical approach where you can be like, this is the key to beating Pittsburgh. Or if you're Pittsburgh, there's not really a tactical approach to seeing, to being like, this is how we beat the Rowdies. Like, both teams are just completely solid from top to bottom. So it's really just going out there and like making something happen, playing your game, hoping the other team makes a mistake, and then having like a Charlie Dennis banger from outside the box or a Cal Jennings like insane run like he usually pulls out of nowhere, right? So you need something like that. Either team needs something like that to win against the other team. So I think it's gonna be really close. So I fully think it's gonna be like a coin toss. By the way, their leading scorer has 19 goals and the next one has 4 goals. Cal Jennings, who was your man of the match, has 17 goals this year. And he started plenty of games off the bench, by the way. Like, I think Cal Jennings, he's right behind Dequa with less playing time. And then on top of that, we also have JJ Williams with 11 goals. And then Charlie Dennis with 11 goals. Like, there's guys that are right behind him in a way that Pittsburgh doesn't really have. So I'm saying that to say Pittsburgh's attack is kind of, it's not one-dimensional. That's not what I mean to say, but it's relatively predictable in that way. I think that's something we have going for us, is that we have plenty of guys that can score. So, and that,
yeah, we don't, yeah, we're not focusing most of our offense, you know, on maybe getting the ball to one player. You know, we have a lot more options.
Exactly. We have nine.
And I would say that speaks almost to the Rowdies, Cal Jennings being like spreading the ball around, like not necessarily going for the goal because he wants the glory of it, you know, passing it to the right person at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we scored 9 more goals than them this season in Pittsburgh. So offensive is really clicking. They've conceded 6 less than us this season. A couple anomalies throughout the season for us, though, including that 4-goal game against Memphis, a couple injuries throughout the season. Like, I don't put too much weight into that. So, all that being said, let me just, before we jump into the score prediction, mention a little bit about the tiebreakers, because we're coming up, there's two games left in the regular season. It's this game against Pittsburgh and then away to Louisville. Pittsburgh has us away, obviously, and then they go away to Detroit to finish the year. Detroit is not that good, but Detroit's going to play at home against Pittsburgh, and they can occasionally pull some decent results out at home, believe it or not. They've had a couple of those throughout the year. They beat Louisville at home 2-0. They beat San Antonio at home 2-0. Birmingham at home 1-0. Like, they can pull out some good results at home. So hopefully they come in clutch for us against Pittsburgh. But the reason I'm saying all that is, if we win, we obviously go tie in points with Pittsburgh, right? The first tiebreaker is head-to-head points earned in the regular season, which would mean if we win, Pittsburgh beat us earlier this year. So you go to the next tiebreaker because we both get 3 points off each other if we win. The next tiebreaker would be goal differential and head-to-head games. So if we win by one, then you have to go to the next tiebreaker because they also beat us by one. If we win by two or more goals, then we have that tiebreaker. And should we still be tied by the end of the year, that should carry us into that first place spot. So that's all depending on us winning first, by the way. Like, we still have to win. But if you could pick the score, you'd want to win by two or more, because that tiebreaker is going to be huge in determining who ultimately ends up in first place should we get the win this weekend. Because the next tiebreaker is points per game versus in-conference opponents in regular season league games. And Pittsburgh actually is edging us out on that. They have more points. Their points per game is higher versus in-conference opponents than ours is. So if it gets to that, if we win by one on Saturday, and then by the end of the season we're still tied with Pittsburgh, they would carry that tiebreaker into the first place spot. So very confusing, kind of. I'm explaining it very poorly, but the point is, if we win, we want to win by at least two goals to hold that tiebreaker.
If we're still tied. What I'm hearing is two goals and we're on the field.
Yep. That's it.
All right.
All that being said, Liz, your prediction for this weekend and essentially for how, you know, the end of the regular season plays out.
I'm not very hopeful, unfortunately. I know I just sounded very enthusiastic, but I do think it might be a 1-2 loss. I think we might get a goal, but I think we might get scored on more, unfortunately. I hate to be James. Sorry, James.
Yeah, it's a very James-esque prediction. I think I'm spoiling it by my reaction, but I do think we can and will win this weekend if we play our game. I think defensively, we have the capabilities to shut Pittsburgh out if we really play really, really well. I don't think we will. My prediction is going to be a 2-1 win. So not that by two goals win. I hope we do win by two goals. But I think offensively, we have too much going for us to not get a couple on the board. Pittsburgh's solid defensively. I think we are also solid defensively and can come up with enough backline strength to hold them to one goal. Hopefully zero goals, but my official prediction is 2-1. If we win by two, I will be ecstatic. And then it all comes down to that game against Louisville the following weekend, which has its own set of challenges playing in Louisville. But you know what? One game at a time. Let's win by two or one. I really don't care. If we win by one, still in a good spot. So I think that's my prediction officially is 2-1. I feel pretty confident, believe it or not. It's a really, really tough game. We're playing at home, though, and playing in Pittsburgh is so much more challenging than playing at home because their field is so narrow. That's what some of the players have said, too. It's, like, really hard to play the game we play, which is a wide game, like to spread the field, get guys out on the wing. We can do that much more at home than we can do in Pittsburgh. Might be a big factor, and it could play to our advantage, so we'll see how that works out. Eureka, the producer's prediction is a 1-1 draw. And the guest spot for this week goes to Santiago Pombo. By the way, of the newly founded, is that too strong a word? The newly started at RBLR Deportes branch of this show. Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. First episodes of that coming out pretty soon. All of your RBLR coverage in Spanish, hosted by yours truly, Santiago Pombo. Follow at RBLR Deportes on Twitter. And I'll mention that again later on. But that's a long way of saying his score prediction is a 2-1 win, like me. Great prediction on his part, I think. So that's all to say. We have a win, draw, and a loss prediction in here. I think it's indicative of how this game could go. It really could go either way. But we're playing at home, on our field, in good form. I think that's going to push us over the edge. Liz, concluding thoughts on this game.
It's not going to be boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Dequa. It's literally Rowdies versus Dequa. Let's just not let him score and we're in business. Jan Ekra, just mark
him.
Oh,
you wanted actual like deep thoughts. Okay, you didn't want commentary. My bad.
Literally whatever. You have any deeper thoughts than it won't be boring?
No, I just think it won't be boring, honestly.
That means
I couldn't tell you how I think it's gonna go.
It's a good way to put it. It really is a toss up. Essentially going to determine how the rest of the season plays out, by the way. Only two games left, so that's not really like dramatic to say. Final predictions. Me, I'm taking a 2-1 win. Liz taking a 1-2 loss. Eureka taking a 1-1 draw. And Santiago Pombo of RBLR Deportes taking a 2-1 win. Finally, moving on to the last segment that we amicably call extra time. There's nothing in here. So there's not much to say in the broader world of soccer. I mean, there's Champions League soccer going on, Europa League, Conference League stuff. What I will say on my own personal soccer world, the team my dad and I follow, Liga de Quito, did actually go into Argentina, get the result they needed. They got the 0-0 draw, and they qualified to the final of the Copa Sudamericana in Uruguay in October. So everybody pull for them. It's going to be a crazy final against Fortaleza from Brazil. By the way, the Copa Sudamericana is like the Europa League of South America for anybody that's not really familiar with South American soccer. Huge tournament, huge opportunity for Ecuadorian soccer once again to kind of keep our name up there. And it's an awesome opportunity for the team my dad and I follow to be part of that history. So really, really fun stuff coming up there. The final is Friday, October 28th. So it's at the end of this month in Uruguay. Going to be a crazy one. And that's all I have. Liz, do you have anything else from the wider world of soccer?
Nothing too crazy, unfortunately. No news about the women's team in Tampa Bay, unfortunately.
Still nothing.
No! They tweet, but they tweet nothing of content, and it kills me.
No, that's fair. All right, I think that's about it for extra time then. I mean, Eureka made me really sad when he mentioned the Rays earlier. It's not soccer, but I just want to take a moment of silence for the Rays season that ended so sadly, so abruptly, in like the worst, most embarrassing way possible. At home, in two games, in front of a library crowd. It was just terrible. Everything was bad about that series. And I think we can just throw this season away and focus on the Rowdies playoffs now. Usually it's a lot more fun when the Rowdies and the Rays playoffs are happening at the same time. Unfortunately, it will just be the Rowdies. That should be enough for everybody in St. Pete to go out to what will be at least one home game this year. So go out and support the Rowdies. There's a team in the playoffs in St. Pete. It's not the baseball team, but your Tampa Bay Rowdies will be there. Big game this weekend. Be there as well. Okay, that's all from the RBLR Rowdies crew, Carlos and Liz and James from Scotland. Make sure to give us a follow at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at CarlosTPA10. I have been basically for the past like 24 hours exclusively tweeting about Liga de Quito, LDU Quito, how it's like, you know, written out sometimes. If you're ever looking around and you see a big U in blue and red, just insane stuff over there. And, you know, if you want to learn about the world of South American soccer, that's been my timeline for the past 24 hours. So at Carlos DPA10, if you want to drop a follow there, we're soon back to your regularly scheduled Rowdies content this Saturday. Liz, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Lizzie the Lion with a zero as the O and Lion on Twitter. I tweet about the Rowdies, women's soccer, and stupid memes.
There you go. Rowdies, women's soccer, and stupid memes. Not Lizzie the Lion. That's all we need in the Rowdies version. Okay. Again, one more time, like and subscribe to our podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, and get the full experience on YouTube. We're here on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, and Google Podcasts. With that being said, one more week of Rowdies content, another big game ahead. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.